last week of the Heart of the Under Empire.
Something yes. We're working on it. Yes, it's me, Ratty, from the Under Empire. Good old Ratty.
From and, Team Evil.
Sorry?
From Team Evil with his evil laugh.
Yes. Which, I'm probably not the best person to even have this sort of discussing with rules, because I haven't played in God knows how long now. At least, I'll try not to talk about cannons.
Yeah, that just makes you the average Games Workshop chatter, because I seriously doubt sometimes how many people play Warhammer on these sites where they talk about Warhammer, because they all talk about the good old days, and they're like, when you find out they're on about 4th edition, you're like, yeah, those days are well gone, mate. But,
Oh, well, I've played this edition, I just haven't played a lot of it in that time.
Well, it's the penultimate thing, isn't it? If you don't make the time, it's a bit hard.
Yeah, I mean, all I think I've done this edition is blow up a fortress, but... right. Have you also seen that the Fankle rules have been leaked?
Ooh, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
Is that in the special place that you told me about before?
Yeah. So if you can have a look up that and have a quick glance through. Also, spoilers are pictures of that. And it's same sort of grainy pictures, though. So you can't really make things out, but yeah, he's overpowered.
You think?
I think he's meant to be.
I'm looking. Where is it, my precious? No, it's only 650. That's...
Yeah, Spine Ripper has now got 4 flamethrowers.
Yeah, that kind of is indicated from the picture. Still got his Warpstone amulet. I was surprised at that one. Yeah, there's quite a few rules there, isn't there?
Yes.
But it's only a single profile, isn't it? So can you make out the wounds there? That looks like a massive blur to me.
Looks like 6. 6 would not be 8, I'm not sure.
Aaron, shut up.
I think that's an 8.
Ooh, 8 wounds.
They're combining profiles.
You might survive a cannon shot then, some might say. the bane of everyone's existence, cannons.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so he's going to be pretty filthy from the looks of it. He's going to have Unbreakable.
Oh, bloody hell.
Says there in very grainy text.
And Terror.
But, he's... Yeah, that's an odd combination, isn't it?
The problem is he's not going to be a pushover in combat anymore.
Especially not with a Warpstone amulet regaining his wounds on a 5-0.
Especially, with his profile combined with Bang Rip, you can't pick him off anymore.
Well, it was a bit silly before. I'm still not happy with Thankwo being the Uber guy. I mean, he's just so comic reliefy. He doesn't get my vote for.
Yeah, I was thinking about what reason it could be. Thankwo's an absolute idiot in the fluff. That might be the case that he actually is going to become the Seador because of that.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to be, isn't he?
Because if you actually get someone who's actually not an imbecile, they might actually usurp power from the Horned Rat or something like that. So, I mean, why would the Horned Rat kill sort of best Seador he's had for quite a few hundreds of years? Pave the way for an imbecile like Thankwo, who's sort of putting his paws.
And the warp fire projector isn't one use only.
Yep, and I don't think it can explode as well now. Because before, I think there was a chance it could explode and kill Bang Ripper automatically.
Yeah, if it misfires, it now inflicts an automatic D6 hits upon the closest Skaven unit within 12 inch.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, at least it's fluffy.
Yeah. I think he's also got a 4 plus ward save.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
It's 4 or 5. Although, all the other, looking at the rules, all the other vermin rules have got a 5 plus.
Yeah, but that's a strictly demon thing, isn't it? I think Carl Franz and all them lot, they've all got 4 ups.
Yeah. Well, apart from. Wait, which one was it? The Warpseers have got a plus 1 to their ward.
Yes, but that's under a kind of condition for the Warpseer.
Yeah, until they throw their orb.
Yeah, I'm a little torn about which would be best. I mean, how do you feel about the new Vermin Lord variations? Not from a gaming point of view, obviously. Do you feel it's a bit too much? Because aren't the amalgamations of councils? One of the pieces of the fluff says that the plague one is the remnants of the Lords of Decay amalgamated together.
You mean Lord Screech Vermin King?
It might be that one, yeah. I just...
Name that's been in the fluff for a while. That sort of... Some of the greatest leaders of Skaven kind have become Vermin Lords themselves, so... I guess it makes sense. As for sort of all the different variants, it's nice to see the sort of clans get their own... specific Vermin Lords. Although, I think they might have taken a bit over the top of it. Warp Stiletto.
Yeah, what a weird name. I actually used that one today. It was actually pretty good.
Because I did see one idea with Canjani, because you're going to, of course, talk about cannons later on. But I have seen a few ideas with using the Deceiver, skitter leap him by the cannons, and then do Crack's Call.
Yeah, that's totally my idea, that. 1 inch away from the cannon, Crack's Call. Oh, yeah. It was a minimum of 4 inches. Angle it right, you might get 2 cannons.
Yeah. That might make those dwarf players cry.
If he gets that far. It's very iffy. Now, today I had a... practice run. I won't go into too much detail about it because my mate's taking this list to Sheffield Slaughter. Mm-hmm. He's taking Beastmen, but from Reign of Chaos or Legions of Chaos, whatever it's called. So basically, he can have the marks and stuff, and he gets extra bonuses for just taking Beastmen. So it's kind of fluffy Beastmen, but my god, it's hard. He takes 3 Doombles of Tzinj, so they've all got 3 up wards. And I played him with my Warriors of Chaos, and he just battered my Demon Princes to death, which is just shockingly bad, because Demon Princes are supposed to be filthy. So, yeah. But I did massacre him in the end, though, with the Skaven. So, it's all about tactical use with these things, I think. Because I deployed, so I'd got a block of slaves... And then I had Warbringer, and then I had another block of slaves, and he went super wide, so I couldn't just bomb him with something. And I actually managed to get the charge in, so I got slaves, Warbringer, slaves, into his massive block of 40-odd guys.
Death Frenzy?
No, I didn't manage to get Death Frenzy off. I'll tell you what I did do, though, stupidly. I didn't allocate attacks on his BSB, which was in base contact with a Warbringer. And I should have, because I rolled the damn thing about 8 times after we'd done it. And I was like, yeah, he's dead. Oh, I've killed him again. Oh, I've killed him again. Oh, I've killed him again. I was like, yeah, I really should have done that. But it worked, because he's a rat demon, so he broke from combat. So he got away, and then the other demon jumped in behind and used the warp stiletto and shot them all, because they're 12 wide. yeah, I find that pretty pretty nifty with the skill leap, I think.
Well, the Warbringer, you could have, because he's got the Verminous Fury roll, so reroll foul casting attempts with Death Frenzy.
Yeah, yeah, I did cast Death Frenzy towards the end, but I wasn't getting the power dice. I was getting like 5 or 6 power dice. You know, it's really frustrating, because on like turn 4, when I'd absolutely smashed him, I rolled 12 power dice. And I was like, well, this is just overkill, because you were dead anyway, but now you've got absolutely no chance. Because I was like, wither that unit, foot laugh, wither that unit, foot laugh. You know, I'll zap them. And it was just like, oh, it's game over. I'm going to cast Death Frenzy and Blessed with Filth on that unit. And it just collapsed under the weight of attacks in the end. But it's because I had one really good turn. On turn three, I managed to knock off two of the three Doombulls.
Cool.
Yeah, from full wounds to none. A direct cannon shot took one out. And the other one I nailed with... I rolled a Doomwheel up at him, which eventually got through his three up wards here. That's just so frustrating.
Oh, how the bloody Doomwheel up to him? That was just cruel.
Hey, he came close to me. We were like, shall I charge, shall I charge? And I was like, you know what? If I don't go for it, that guy's just going to eat half my army. Which were true, because I charged one in the flank, and it was still a draw in combat. And I was like, this is ridiculous, because I challenged him out, so it was champion versus bloody Doomball. He did three wounds because he fluffed his attacks. I parried two of the wounds, so he basically did one wound. And he still managed to hold, which just makes it a pain in the ass. And again, he wouldn't have held if I'd have sniped that goddamn BSB when I ran in and charged. But that's my own stupidity. I should know well better than that. But yeah, I'm finding them all right. I don't know if the Warbringer's worth it. I don't know if Killing Blow D3 wounds is worth an extra 50 points.
Need it. Does get an extra attack.
He gets 7 attacks altogether because he's got 6 and he's got paired weapons. But if you look at the Corruptor, which is one I'm leaning towards, he's 50 points cheaper. He has reroll plague. He has 5 attacks. He's frenzied. And he has a paired weapon. So he's got 7 attacks, the same. And the Plague Reaper gives him always strikes first. So he's got 7 attacks. It's like, do you need the D3 woundage?
Only if you're fighting something big.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I even ran. The Warbringer ended the game by charging the remaining Doomball in the rear. I cast Frenzy on him. So I'd got 8 attacks in rear. And I still only did 3 hits and then 3 wounds, I think. And it was just... 3 up save, ping, 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 ping. And I just broke him on static combat res, and it's like, yeah, it's your turn to run off.
I mean, I think the Warbringer will be better against more multi-wound opponents like ogres.
Oh, yeah.
More the Corruptor be elves.
Well, always strikes first and initiative 10, you've always got to reroll.
Yep. And you think being able to cast Plague like that and maybe lots of Wither?
I'm definitely going to swap it around a bit, because I took the Warbringer and where's he gone? I took the Warbringer and the Deceiver. Is it?
Yeah, I think you did say the Deceiver.
Deceiver, yeah, the Deceiver with the Arcing Death. I love that. Having 12 shots, it were brutal. I killed like 8 guys in one shooting phase. So it's having that adaptability, because you can shoot, you can magic, you can play the movement game and block things off, or just terror bomb by declaring charges and then skitter leaping anyway. So you're not exactly pinned down with him, but I've got to say I am severely tempted by the Warp Seer with his bonus to shooting in the magic phase. And he has D3 wounds as well. See, this one's right in the middle. He does D3 wounds. Yeah, he only has 5 attacks. But he has a 4 up ward save. And you can one dice warp lightning and get 6 hits all the time.
Yep, that is very tempting.
That is, to me, pretty good. Because combine that with Wither. There's not many units that'll... withstand 6 turns, you throw in one dice at the spell and go, oh, I rolled a 2, I'll re-roll that. Oh, it's cast.
Yeah. Yes, that would make an absolute mess of most things. Although, once again, probably Cannon will probably get him. Although, he does have a 4 up ward.
This one has a 4 up ward, so theoretically, he should survive a Cannon, because 6 wounds, 4 up ward. Chances are he's going to take at least 2 cannon shots, and you might save one of them, so he might survive to 3 cannon shots.
By then you should have your gutters in a position and good game.
Yeah, it depends what you do as well, because I had to really squeeze to find the points for these guys. To get two in at 2,400 points is... Mm-hmm. I basically had a Warlord with a 4-up ward save and a shield. So that was all I could fit in.
Well, you don't have to give him the 4-up ward save. You can just keep him somewhere near the back, just with his bubble.
Well, I didn't stay at the back, though. I ran forward to support the Warseer, because I had the... What's his name? Yeah, Warbringer running in. I had to keep him in for the reroll, because he even tried to get me to flee off the board, because what he did is he staggered his harpies behind my Warbringer when he panicked, so that if I failed again, he'd be straight off the board, because he'd bounce through his unit. And then, for extra measure, he cast Doom and Darkness on him. And he irresistibled it, so I couldn't stop it. So I was like, okay, leadership 5 with a reroll. So next turn I had to basically not charge my general's bunker, because there was a unit of that unit of 40 was down to like 16, and if I'd have charged my general unit in there, I'd have smashed the hell out of them. But obviously I needed to save the Warbringer, so I hung back and saved the Warbringer. But you know, dicey stuff.
Yeah,
but
have you seen the pictures of that have been leaked to the Birdbank Hall?
I have seen some pictures. I think he has weird horns.
Yep, warpstone horns.
I think it just, I don't know, I can just imagine people trying to trim his horns while he's asleep. Yeah.
I'm all worried what he'll do to his own horns.
It's...
He's bloody addicted to the stuff.
You think they'll release two models, Thanko Ascended and then Thanko at the end of Ascension, and he's got no horns left because he's eating it all.
Yep. And probably with his sort of all the degenerated sort of bits from all the sort of excessive warpstone use. So I mean, that's the strange thing it is. With the Gotrek and Felix series, supposedly that's actually still canon. Thankwin, that was an absolute wretched state in Elfslayer, because it'd been something like 20 years, which isn't very good for Skaven, as far as age is concerned. And, well, Gotrek and Felix, he was an absolute wretched state. Didn't have a nose. I know, he smelled horrible.
Yeah, it's... Well... I don't know what they're going to do. You know, maybe he will die and he'll ascend. Maybe that's the way he's going to go, because that's what happened with the Empire, isn't it?
Yes.
So, I can't just see it being, hey, look, I'm awesome. Because it's a bit too conflicted. I still have great issue with it being Thanko that's being their big bad. Unless he's like the Fall guy. I much prefer him to be the Fall guy.
Oh, he's probably more of a puppet than he ever thinks he is.
It's very dubious. But at least a good Ikit Kolo and honourable mention is killing dwarfs in style. Yeah.
Wonder what Queek is up to.
See, I thought Queek could ascend, because he's the crazy one, isn't he? He's the High World running and Kaelio.
Isn't it meant to be only about 4 years old?
Hence the enthusiasm.
Yeah, he's a rabid 4 year old. Go figure. I expect it probably has something with him with Caracate Peaks. Probably with him taking either it down or sort of getting into a massive fight with Skarsnik.
Quite possible.
But they might kill him off, perhaps.
Well, yeah, you don't know.
Yeah.
Oh dear, it depends if they've sold enough models. They think he's served his purpose. The Games Workshop gods have decided.
Makes you wonder, is this going to be the end of the Warhammer world?
No, you can't sell models if it ends, can you?
They've stated quite a lot in all of the End Time books. The world is ending.
Yeah, but...
They've been doing that for so many years, I know.
every nutcase religion in everything is always saying the world's gonna end next Tuesday at 3 p.m.
Pretty much.
You know, so it's just, I think end is just the sign for change, really. It's just a different way of calling it. You call it the world's ending because you're a good guy and you don't want to die. Although, I'd take great issue with this whole, the bad guys are winning, because I don't think Skaven particularly are bad guys, they're more of a in for themselves. There's nothing yet to indicate that they are with Chaos, but we'll see.
Throck probably will.
Hmm.
If it follows the same way as Storm of Chaos did, they're going to go around Hell Pits and strike a deal and Throck gets lots of experiments.
Well, a deal's a deal, but you never turn your back on Skaven, do you? That's the thing.
Oh, no.
I mean, Nagash supposedly dies in End Times Thankwo, so does that mean the Skaven play some part in killing Nagash again?
Maybe they throw Thankwo at him.
What? He uses Thankwo as a shield and then he attacks.
Something like that. Well, he's got Warpstone horns. Throw him in and pound Nagash with his horns.
Like a ram. Fire him out of a lightning cannon.
I could be proud.
Oh dear me. Yeah. I don't know with the Vermin Lords. I'm still on the edge. I think they've definitely got their applications. They reacted better than I thought they would when I used them today, I've got to be honest. He didn't have cannons because he was Beast of Chaos, obviously. I've got to state that irrevocably. So he didn't get cannon shot. But I did take a boosted Amber Spear, which is strength 10, d6 wounds. And the other one lost a couple of wounds in combat. But all in all, they did what I wanted them to do. The Warbringer broke the big unit. And the other one, he had bloody Herdstone with two wizards around it. No, it was three, I think, at the start of the game, because he's got four wizards. Three wizards sat around it, generating an extra power dice each. Did one unit Marcus Lanesh, so it never ran or panicked. But he put them all in a big line, so I couldn't cannon shoot him. So I just jumped Deceiver behind him, fired Stiletto at him. Front rank's 10 wide, is it? Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Then wizards soon ran off. That's one irritating thing that they haven't quite clarified. It says that he can skitterleap himself, but do they mean he can skitterleap Vermin Lords or just himself?
I don't see why in skitterleap. You can't skitterleap a Vermin Lord.
Just a monster.
Does it actually state it has to be an infantry model with this spell? It's been a while since I've looked.
The specific wording for the spell is infantry model, but Shadow Strider for the Deceiver says a Vermin Lord Deceiver can reroll failed attempts to cast Skitterleap. He can choose itself as a target of the spell.
Oh, it can just choose itself, can't Skitterleap any others then, because they're not infantry.
Yeah, it's just...
It's just an exception to the rule, I guess.
Yeah, but Skaven have so many exceptions to the rules, it becomes irritating, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean...
All the facts and errors.
Yeah. The Warpseer, for example, he's got a Doomglaive and a Skyra Orb. Place the orb anywhere within 12 inches. Well, what does anywhere mean? We still haven't resolved this one from Bloody Scorch. There's so many people... Yeah, exactly. Anyway, he just tosses it over his shoulder as he walks forward. It's Michael Bay illuminates the background of the shot. You know, going, yeah, I'm that bad. Oh, yeah.
Make sure you've got tape, some sort of epic music playing when you do that.
Fading Michael Bay.
Yeah!
dear me. It is, though, isn't it? Because it doesn't even misfire as well, the Sky Orb that the Warp Seer carries.
Yeah, I'm not my scoping things. Actually, that's quite shocking if you think about it. These Skaven aren't actually prone to accidents.
That's because they're too expensive, aren't they? People don't want to pay 500 points for something that can bloody roll a 1 on Warp Lightning and start taking wounds. It's just a bit meh.
Not really Skaven, though, is it?
No. I'll concede you on that one. It's not. It's also an interesting collection of spells, don't you think? You know, they've specifically gone for plague,
war.
Oh, I mean about the spells. The spell plague, you know, the spell skitter leap, the spell death frenzy.
Oh, yeah.
What other one do we have? Warp lightning, and then 13th. So, I don't know. That probably gives some indication that we aren't going to lose them spells in the immediate future. Mm. The big thing that a lot of people are on about is whether or not we're going to get reworded spell cards with the new book, mm. you know, to actually make them a bit more compliant. And I think that so many people want this that it's not going to happen. In typical Games Workshop style. Yeah. You want what? No, no. You see, we decide what we're going to do, not you.
Well, there's also Skaven Dice coming out.
What?
Yeah.
Official Games Workshop?
Yep.
Ooh.
They're only green.
Is that it, the green dice?
I think that is... Yeah, that's all it is. It's sort of like green. Oh, wait, and the one is the... Skaven sort of a cross runic device. Yeah, the Under Empire actually has better custom dice.
Oh, you're going to hear Games Workshop lawyers already. What did he say?
Anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the Vermin King either. What's the point in having two awesome weapons and having to choose between them?
I mean, a lot of the Vermin Lord stuff seems a bit overly gimmicky.
Well, it is, isn't it? Selling big models, it's what Games Workshop likes to do, but...
Oh, even their rules, when you think about it, are a bit gimmicky. When you say with sort of certain spells, I mean... Oh, you've got one that can skitter leap everywhere. Or sort of the one that does really, really good warp lightning. Or sort of gets the dreaded 13th, turns all your opponent's models into clan wraps.
Yeah, but no one takes fucking infantry at tournaments, that's the thing.
Mm.
They either take no infantry at all, or they take a shit ton. So the 13th isn't really that fantastic a spell.
Oh, no. That was always funny when you do sort of turn sort of your opponent's prized Ironbreakers unit into clan rats. Or big unit hammerers with a Dwarf Lord in there.
Dwarfs deserve it, filthy.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun to do that.
They need to be expunged from the Warhammer world.
Looks like they might be getting close, given sort of how I think they've probably lost their goddess by now, with Nagash sort of draining all of her power, losing basically all their holds with the Skaven, apparently.
Well,
I can't see them actually getting a book.
Well, they've just had one, haven't they? I think well, they'll
I mean
get
the End Times book.
No, well, there's only supposed to be one more after this.
Mm.
Five's the magic number now. I don't know. Five might be the epic fight back. You don't know. It can go either way. Cause...
Yeah, probably Archeon, won't it?
Well, if Nagash dies in four and Archeon dies in five, then the End Times are over.
Maybe End Times Grimgor.
Hmm.
See if you can beat the crap out of Archeon again.
Well, who will kill him? Because is that cryptic
It's got to be Grimgore again.
You think?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, it's hilarious. The first one, the Storm of Chaos, Felton going in, smashing sort of Arkin over the head, then getting taken out. Then Luther Huss running in, smashing Arkin over the head, then getting taken out. Then Grimgore running up and headbutting him and beating the crap out of him. I mean, that's probably how it's going to pan out anyway. Just all the main characters go running and just beat the crap out of Archeon. And then Grimgore's going to run in at the end, just headbutt and go, I win. I use the best.
Headbutt for the win. My head hurt now.
Yeah. That would be funny, what is next in store for End Times. I just want it to be Grimgore.
Well, we'll have to see what happens with this one and how Nagash dies, if he does die in this one. Which is only going to be doable if we can actually get his hands on a copy of the goddamn book. So, yeah,
that'd be interesting. Yeah. Well, they're doing all the reprints of being in the softbound. So, I mean, if you don't want to get your collector's hardback, just wait a little longer and you get soft.
Yes, but I want to know now what's happening. I can't wait. I need to know if Skaven turn on the chaos and kill them all and we all live happily ever after. It's a planet full of rats.
Probably not.
Well, it's...
Games Workshop haven't got the best track record with Skaven coming out on top.
No. But it's going to be interesting to see what divulges, who changes sides. Something's going to happen. Something's definitely going to swing. If Nagash dies, there's going to be some allegiance changes somewhere. Yeah. It's all theory, though, isn't it, unfortunately, at the moment?
Yes.
All we know is of the massive incursion. What's going to happen to Lizard Men? Still no mention of the new characters or Ascended Slam or anything.
Well, apparently they're doing the Massive Exodus.
Yeah, but the Exodus fails, apparently. So, at some point, they have to turn around and fight.
And I was thinking it was going to be sort of a so long and thanks for all the fish.
I wonder how many people listening will actually get that reference.
Certainly too few, probably.
Oh, dear me.
I can now just imagine the slang now sort of doing sort of a dolphin thing flying up into space.
Meh, meh.
A sort of distended sort of frog bellies and all that.
Well, they can levitate, so why not fly, you know? Be like, yeah, you've been our loyal servants for a millennia, but we're leaving you all here to die while we leave.
I'm now also thinking of that happening to Paul McCartney's Rupert the Bear Frog song. Do you remember that?
I am not sure what you're referring to.
It's quite big when I was sort of young. It's like the dum 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 da 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 dum. Boom boom ba da da dum dum da dum 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 da dum dum. Yeah, look it up.
Do you want to carry on singing? I'll just append it to the outro.
In fact, Lana, that is we all stand together. Boom boom. Oh, it's a terrible song. It's Paul McCartney. What do you expect?
Meow. Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see if Thankwo is as cheesy as they can possibly make him. And
yes, and if he is used as a projectile to kill Nagash.
Well, Bone Ripper certainly sounds like it could smeg the shit out of him from those rules.
Yeah. Well, it's... one thing, what would you actually go for? The braziers or the projectors?
Hmm, It's a good question, isn't it?
Just for the sake of it, I'd almost want the air braziers, really, just for him to run in, just sort of twat everything in front of him. Just sort of run up to Nagash and whack him in the face.
Well, a rule says that the braziers re-roll failed attempts to wound in close combat.
Yep, including impact hits and stomp.
Ouch.
Yep.
And they benefit from an extra attack from having more than one set of close combat weapons, so it doesn't mean he's got 7 attacks.
But it also counts as the warp fumes as well. Ouch.
Yeah, but that's awesome against everyone but elves, because they just take the banner of the world dragon and it's magical. And then one dude who's toughness 3 kills Thankwo.
It's possible strength 5 as well.
So what's that make him? Strength 7?
Yep. That is better, but yeah, that's pretty good strength 7. That's going to be a feel that.
Mind, he is going to get stuck in combat, isn't he? Because he's unbreakable.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, you just sort of put a diverting unit and just keep him held up.
That's the thing, isn't it? And he can't fire his warp projectors in combat.
Well, I'm sure sort of Vankle's going to be fine anyway, though. Because, I mean, with the sort of enjoined stat line, as I say, he's not going to be picked off at all. Actually, it's a bit odd. Vankle's meant to be an absolute coward, yet he's unbreakable here.
He's hiding far atop a Bona Ripper. It's probably the excuse.
Doesn't any race have a sniper or something? Then that should be quite an easy good shot, just to go boop.
Yes, we have the Empire have snipers with killing blow, but those days are over because it pisses people off who want to take dragons and stuff. I really want to see an end to multiple sat lines. We did away with it with cavalry ages ago, and now it's lingering on. And if they want to sell monsters and make Warhammer a more monster friendly place, then the rules need to be more rounded towards taking them. Having a cannon shoot out a dragon from underneath you and then walking across the battlefield is ridiculous.
And yet pretty epic.
You are?
Well, I thought it was pretty epic, that, really. Shoot down your dragon and you just sort of go, right, I'm going to twat you over there now. You took my dragon on now.
No, you'd be seriously fucked from the whiplash. Your dragon's flying across a battlefield, suddenly gets twatted by a cannonball in the face, and you fall, and the dragon presumably lands near or on top of you. That's going to hurt like hell.
Now we're talking logic in a sort of way that uses sort of magic demons and axes that are bigger than you are.
My logic is undeniable. Who uses axes that are bigger than you are?
My goblin characters did.
did. They did away with that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Back in the day, when I was young.
Yeah, sneaky skewer. That was always fun to use. Basically, you call it a tin opener.
Yeah, well, that stupid banner as well, didn't you, that you run into a wizard and it just exploded.
Yeah.
I remember that one with great fun on the unit of fast calf goblins. So it's definitely been some changes over the years.
And we'll see how many more changes we get in the future.
Well, we'll see what's to come with the end times.
Better or worse.
Making more models, it's all good to Games Workshop.
Why? Thank for his Warpstone horns.
Yeah. Being groomed by every other scavenger so they can have a nibble. Pity just narks me, I'm sorry. I could just imagine him all there trying to file a bit off.
Oh, doubtless there'll be a bit where he sort of snaps off a bit of his horn just to wait.
Cracking it off like a cracker.
Yeah. Need more power.
Power levels low. Eat more lobster.
It's over 9,000.
It'd be more acceptable if it was like growing out of Bone Ripper on his back. That'd be more. Yeah.
It wouldn't last long.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It wouldn't last long if it was his bloody horns either. It's just, oh.
Yeah.
He'd still try and pull it off. He's a massive crackhead.
Oh, could you imagine if Bone Ripper was made out of warp stone?
The green glow of death.
Yeah, it won't last a battle.
Summit to it. So we can have multiple versions of Bone Ripper, at least. At least there's summit there.
Yeah. Shatney can't mix.
Yeah, it does seem a bit like, why can't you have two of two and two of the other? And then rather than him having crazy fucking multiple template rubbish.
That would be pretty awesome if sort of then two warp fire throws and then two braziers then running and going bang.
Well, you wouldn't even do that, would you? You'd move to about 2 inch away and then you'd just stand there because it's quick to fire, so you can stand and shoot with a warp fire projector.
Mm-mm.
And you're unbreakable anyway, so what difference does it make? So then you drop the flamer temporal on a load of them. Then they run in, have to take toughness tests for their entire front rank.
Yep.
And then you eat someone on the front rank.
Not forget all your rerolls for stomp.
Yeah, that's a bit... Does it specifically say stomp? Does it not have thunder stomp?
I'm not sure if he has actually got thunder stomp. Let's see what it says. I mean, it's a large target. Well, it says stomps. Which I assume it must be Thunder Stomp then. So that's a bloody big model.
Well, yeah, innit? They're all going to be like that. I think this is the new... possibly the new thing for what they're going to do. Make models wider so they're less... less hard for infantry units to take on. If you get more attacks in, then it's balanced it off a bit, doesn't it?
I've never thought Skaven characters would be particularly good, except for some of the really cheap ones.
Well, yeah, but compared to the others, he's I don't know. I suppose we should talk about the Vermin King. He's got he's a level 4. He's got Dreaded 13. So he can reroll that. He's got the Doom Glaive and the Plague Reaper, so he's kind of got a mishmash of options.
So, when you say re-roll, do you mean, like, if he doesn't successfully cast it, can he re-roll the whole thing?
Yeah, that's the thing. If they can re-roll a failed attempt to cast whatever spell they've got. So, his is the 13th. So, you pick up all six dice and roll them again. So,
double the chance to blow your head off. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's another reason I don't think it's a particularly good investment for a 650-point character that's just going to implode. But
and I'm assuming he's got the standard toughness and wounds and the same as the other caster. Like toughness 6, 6 wounds or 5 wounds, whichever it was.
Yeah, they're all strength, toughness, wounds 6. Initiative 10. Mm-hmm.
Five up ward save for all of them.
Yep. Oh, except from the Warp Seer. The Warp Seer's got the Skyra Orb, which until he throws it, gives +1 to his ward save.
Okay.
But yeah, for this guy, you're basically paying 150 extra points.
To get that one guaranteed Dreaded 13th, but you're paying 650 points total, and I'd much rather just have a Grace here with a Power Scroll.
Yeah, well, there's that, and he's got a choice of two weapons, which you can choose at the start of the combat. Yeah.
And one's the Glaive, right? And the other one's the...
Plague Reaper.
Right. And the Plague Reaper basically just counts as... It's a killing blow,
right? It's always strikes first.
Oh, okay, so that's the Always Strikes first one. And the glaive is killing blow, or the glaive is still... They took away D3 wounds completely.
No, the glaive is D3 wounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So always strike first versus D3 wounds. I mean, that obviously just ends up being a choice of what you're going to be fighting.
Yeah, but it just seems kind of limited when you look at some of the others. So I'll go on to the next one, and I'll explain, since you've not seen all the information. The next one's a Corruptor. He rerolls Plague.
Okay. Which is still my favorite.
Yeah, definitely. He has 5 attacks, he's frenzied, and he has a pair of Plague Reapers. So he has 7 attacks with Always Strikes First. And he's 150 points and cheaper.
What's his leadership sitting at for the frenzy?
8.
Okay, that's not bad.
Then you have the Deceiver, which he's the complicated one. I actually used this in a game the other day because my mate wants to test his list. He's shrouded in darkness, so he's -1 to hit. He always knows and can re-roll Skitterleap and cast it on himself.
This is the one that I've seen for sure. With the weird warp, the arcing death, which is stolen from Necrons.
Wow. I forgot about that. But yeah, it is pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
Because the arcing death is strength 6. It's quick to fire, so he doesn't suffer moving and firing. It's armor piercing. He's got poisoned attacks.
The only problem is it's based on the amount of guys in the front rank. So against a horde unit, it'd be pretty effective, but I can't see it being super great against single target models.
Yeah, he's not that kind of character. He's more of a support character.
Yeah. No, I wasn't saying
he was. But I used him to some good effect. I jumped in behind a unit that was 10 wide and shot at them. Then I jumped in behind a unit that was 14 wide and I shot at them. And it's quite accurate. If you teleport him into short range, it's 3s, basically. So pretty good for 500 points, really. On top of his wizard power. Because I ran him into the back of the unit eventually and killed him off with him. So that worked out pretty well.
I was going to say, they all do count as, like, monsters, right?
They're getting
the thunder stomps, not their weak stomps.
No, thunder stomp.
Okay, that's good.
The Warbringer is a bit in between. He's 550 points.
Death Frenzy?
He knows Death Frenzy and can reroll Death Frenzy, but he isn't frenzied.
No, I'm fine with that. Death Frenzy I like for just casting on slaves and stuff like that. Not, you don't ever want that on your characters unless they're in the unit.
He's got 6 attacks basic, and he has a paired weapon, which kind of makes no sense because he has a Doomglaive in one hand and a punching dagger in the other, which counts as a paired weapon. This is the one with a killing blow D3 wounds. So
right.
And he's got that all the time. So I don't know. I kind of like the sound of this one. I used this one. He didn't really do much, though, in combat, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, the theory then would be if you want to send him up against a monster, you'll have 7 attacks with D3 wounds, which would be pretty fantastic if they all... And especially going at initiative 10. No monster's going to hit before that, unless you're like a Slaaneshi demon.
Yeah. Well, most of them don't actually have initiative 10, so you'd still go first most of the time.
They don't have always... I just assume that everything Slaanesh is always strike first.
Yeah, you have to buy it as an add-on now.
Oh, okay.
It's a gift for... If you take the hero with the gift of always strikes first, then the unit that the hero's in gets always strikes first. But they don't automatically have always strikes first. By default, they have poison and armor piercing, I believe.
Gotcha.
But anyway, back on topic. I used him. I used a bus of slaves, the Warbringer, a bus of slaves, and I ran him into this unit that were 14 wide. I made a mistake, though. I didn't pick on and snipe the BSB, who we could have killed, and that really narked me, but yeah, that's going to happen, isn't it? Because he bounced out of the combat, and then he cast Doom and Darkness on him to try and get him to run off the board, but...
I was going to say, wait a minute, what unit was 14 wide?
40-odd gauze with the mark of Slaanesh.
It's just a weird width. I'm sorry, my head's trying to wrap around that, like, trying to look at that on the board, and it's 40, 14, That means three, no, not even three ranks, like two and a half.
It's what they do to get around a lot of template weapons around here. You will find that everyone goes, you've got two cannons, have you?
They go wider to try to avoid that extra rankage getting hit, and you, to avoid the template, the big round template actually hitting as much. Okay, that makes sense.
Which is why I like the Deceiver, because he jumps in, because you're 14 wide, are you?
Yeah, I was going to say, if based on that meta, the Deceiver actually becomes a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, when I told my friend about it, he was like, you whacker. right, so the next one, this is another one that we've seen a lot, the Warp Seer. This is the one that knows Warp Lightning. He always has six hits. He has an orb that he throws, which can't misfire. And he has a Doomglaive. So he's kind of in the middle. So he's got D3 wounds. He's got something he can throw that can initiative test kill you. He's always got six hits with Warp Lightning. I've not used this one as yet, but I think this one's going to be one of the good ones.
Is he just the 500 points?
It's only... only the Warbringer and the actual character one, which are over 500 points. All the others are 500.
And the Warbringer's 550? That's still not bad.
But they are a pretty reasonable if you don't get cannon to death.
I mean, obviously, that's still my biggest concern. They still got no armor, right?
No. They've got the ward, they've got six wounds, the toughness six.
I mean, yeah, they're tough, but... like, we're talking giants with a ward save.
Yeah, well, they are very survivable in combat. In the combats I ran into, I was surprised that they escaped so unscathed. And I
was going to say, what's the weapon skill? Okay, so a lot of things are be actually rolling fives.
It's fours if your weapon skill four,
well,
so...
I was going to say, if threes going to be rolling fives, fours going to be rolling... So, okay, so against... rank and file troops for most teams, you're going to actually be doing
but you've got terror as well, so there's a good chance that there will
be. Yeah, no one cares about terror. I've never cared about terror.
It's the odd things that happen when you don't think about it.
No, like I remember to make people roll it for the help it, like for fear checks and stuff, but it's never, it comes into effect like maybe once a rare game, and usually it's just kind of like, okay, cool, my help it kills you even faster now.
Yeah,
like it's at that, if that kind of thing has to be used, I don't feel it's necessary.
Generally, I think they're probably far safer in combat, but you've got a couple of instances which are a bit meh.
Well, I mean, they're move eight, right? So obviously, your goal is to get him in the flank, where you're only going to get five attacks back, you know, worst case scenario in most situations, probably less than that.
Yeah, and you can teleport the Deceiver behind and then run in.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, you can teleport them all behind in theory if they can get Skitter Leap. I mean, they're all level four wizards,
yeah, but they're all monsters. This is what I talked to Ratty about this last night. It's only the Deceiver that says you can specifically cast Skitter Leap, and it says on himself. So...
yeah, but Skitter Leap is just a single model, I thought. I mean, let me check. I got the... yay, I was not dumb and did not move my book back. Give me a sec.
I believe it says infantry model.
Whoa, you just faded out there.
It's the NSA trying to bug in. There's a bit of static on the line. It's like, Warhammer, giant rats taking over the world.
All right, here we go. Skitter Leap, the spell can blah, 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 blah. Okay, so it does say friendly infantry character.
Yeah.
Okay, so... this includes the caster, unless it is a Vermin Lord. It even specifically omits
Vermin Lords. Well, they're not Vermin Lords, they're Vermin Lord Deceivers. Let's get word pedantic.
Oh, God. Well, I still think the infantry part covers that.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's,
Unless it was FAQ, hope to God not. That would be
disastrous. Don't even start doing that. You end up opening five different files and going, blah. Everyone keeps going to me, oh, does this mean Skaven will be good now? I was like, they were always good.
It's just the rule
arguments that you have with people going, you can do what into combat? Yeah.
I can fire my Doomrock in combat. No, you can't. Well,
it's like, how do you feel about putting Scorch into combat?
I feel like I've over rehashed that one like a million times. I personally play that one under the rules of, because it does not specifically disallow combat. Now, don't get me wrong, like, I can see both sides of this argument, and I support anyone who wants to go and say they can cast it anywhere, and into, by definition, anywhere would include into combat, because that's how the wording could be. Like, I can see that reading working, but personally, I play it the other way because I feel we've got so much going for us anyway. Who cares? I don't care about a single small blast niblet strength 4.
Well, the Warp Seer.
I mean, it's nice.
The Warp Seer says, place the Scurrying Orb anywhere within 12 inches.
Yeah, but I think that's the same way the Brass Orb is worded too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that. When I saw that, I figured it was the same exact thing, and that was the whole
kind
point.
Kind of, but it doesn't misfire, so...
Well, that's always nice, because, you know, you never want your... Well, he's got initiative a million, so I don't think he's worried about being sucked down a hole.
Yeah, you say that, and then you roll a 6.
I was going to say. It has happened.
It's like, you know, when I threw 4 dice at Skittleheap, and I got Skittleheap off, and with Irresistible Force, I was like, oh, awesome. I was like, so I did the thing. I put your unit an inch behind his big block, and I was like, yeah, give me a big Strength 10 template now. Go on.
No, Brass Orb does also say place the small round template with the center anywhere within 8 inches of the character. It does say you have to scatter it, but it does say anywhere.
Oh yeah, this scatters, but it only uses a D6, not a scatter artillery.
Yeah, that's always nice.
So yeah,
Is it a large template or a small template?
Small.
Oh, thank God. I was going to say.
God, if it was large.
Then I think everyone would be taking that guy.
Yeah, run.
Be unquestionable, especially with that nice 4 up ward save until he has to throw it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, they seem pretty good. I had.
They're certainly a lot better than the old one.
Yeah, it's amazing what a minor improvement does, because he's only gone up marginally and been given a few special rules. And yet, he's that much more usable.
And yet, they're actually viable.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I'm still a little... The problem is that because they're lord choices, right? And they're 500 yeah. points, give or take. So, and because... And none of them can be your
yeah,
general,
yeah.
right? Not even fighter dude. So that's like the one problem I have, because 500 points in lords means that realistically you're not taking squat in a regular
well,
game.
Well, to get these two in that I took in this game, I just took a warlord with a shield and a 4 at ward save.
Yeah, that's what I was going to... I mean, well, how many points were you playing?
2,400.
Oh, but you're playing with the end times? I'm thinking for not end times.
It's like, not end times. It's in the FAQ now. You get 50% for your lords.
Going for regular composition and ignoring that shenanigans, because it's not going to last, boys and girls. There will be a 9th edition, crossing every bloody finger.
Yeah, there will, but I do think they're going to keep 50% characters. I think it's just going to be a thing.
I really don't want to see
I think
Hero
Hammer is GW's answer to people going, I don't want to have to buy 400 models.
Oh, that's... It's a possibility, but... telling people who get into this game, like, people go up to the shelves that, like, next to where everyone's playing in the stores, and they'll be like, oh, these are really cool models. Like, you know, is it easy to get into? Is it fun? And I'm like, it's really fun. And it's super expensive to get into. But after you, like, you just buy, like, the first couple models and then you're done. You don't have to keep buying stuff. Until they release new Vermin Lords that cost, you know, 70 euros a pop.